and his resurrection. He is the God that's with us today. Thank God for that. I've been preaching a series of messages in the last few weeks out of John, and of course, actually out of different places in the gospel. Today we're going to be looking in Luke chapter number 12. If you'll take your Bibles and look there, as our young people will be slipping out. Luke chapter 12. Just before Miss Jeannie comes to sing our special, let me invite you to stand with me. If you're able to stand this morning, just a few verses that we'll read from our text. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 49. Jesus says, I am come, Jesus said, to send fire, that is judgment on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism, speaking of his death, to be baptized with. And how am I straitened or distressed till it be accomplished? Jesus says in verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth. In other words, you suppose I've come to give peace on the earth. I tell you no, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Christ the divider. That will be our message today. So would you pray with me as we seek God's direction in this message and listen to the message of song afterwards. You'll be blessed by it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for being able to be in your house today. And Lord, I'm the messenger, but God, I need your help through the power of the Holy Spirit to say only what you would have me to say today. And God, help us to hear and listen with our hearts, our minds, and God, to respond as you would have us to respond. And God, to make application to this message in the way that you would have us to make application. May we leave here different people today than we've come. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Please be seated. And thank you, Miss Jeannie. Appreciate that. Luke chapter 12 is where we're at this morning in our Bibles. Luke chapter 12. As we lead up to the time of celebrating the birth of our Savior, we talked about how in this day and time we live in, much like it was in the time Jesus lived in the Gospel of John, as we see John really gives us a picture of the life of Christ, we find that Jesus' name was controversial that during his last 3 years that he was on the face of the earth. Brother Dave, check this air. Let's don't get it too cold, okay? Some folks are going to cut me off here in a minute and they ain't going to listen to a word I say, all right? I don't want that to happen. We're not going to give the devil a way to work, okay? Now, some of you are going to fan here in a minute, all right? I'm not going to be able to help you on that, okay? But don't get it hot, don't get it cold, all right? Right? We want it perfect. But Jesus' name is a controversial name to many, and we know that be the case today. I mean, it's everywhere today. You mentioned the name Jesus. In some places, some folks frown at that, and other folks are excited, but yet, that took place when Jesus lived. We looked at last week, a life without God is a life without Jesus. We saw there were some disciples that followed Jesus that decided they could no longer follow him when it came to giving their heart to him. They were willing to follow him because they enjoyed the good deeds, they enjoyed the blessings that came along with it, the miracles, but yet when it came time to really give their heart to him, they were not willing to do that, and so they abandoned the Lord. What we find here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, we find what we have titled today's message as Christ the Divider. Now, by the way, normally when we consider the concept of division, we do so often in a negative light. We think of verses such as Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19, where the scriptures actually condemn the ones who sow discord among the brethren. Matter of fact, Paul had written to the church at Corinth to correct the problem of divisions within the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. However, this morning, I want to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 51, declares that He came not to bring peace, but to bring division. He says in verse 51, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace." That is, some of you think that I've come to give peace on earth. I tell you no, but rather division. Now, though the ultimate end of the gospel is peace with God, the immediate result of the gospel often results in conflicts. You see, conversion to Christ, as we have seen in our world, when a person comes to know Jesus as Savior, they're converted, it can result in strained family relationships. It can result in persecutions. It can result in even martyrdom. We should never think that by following Christ we will be void of conflict. There have been many that have given their life to Christ and family members have deserted them. They have literally told them they have to leave the family because they didn't want to have anything to do with this Christ. And there have been persecutions, and we still hear about that today. There have been people who have given their life literally because they have named the name of Jesus. You might say, well, what about the message of the angels at His birth? Didn't they say glory to God and peace on earth? Yes, they said that, but their message had to do with the ultimate peace that He will bring when He comes to establish His kingdom on the earth. You see, the first time that Jesus came, He came as the Lamb of God. We see that in the birth of our Savior. He came as the Lamb of God who would be the sacrifice, as we saw played out in the video here. He would be the sacrifice for man's sin. But you know, the next time that Jesus comes, Jesus will come as Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5 says, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's when real peace will be known all across the world. Luke chapter 12, again, verse 51. Do you suppose, Jesus says, that I've come to give peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. There are several ways that we see this played out in Scripture and in this passage. First of all, if you're taking notes, we see in the life of Christ, started out at His birth, that Christ was a divider at His birth. You go back and you study the birth of Christ, there was division during that time period. His birth brought division. He divided time at His birth. You see, the measurement of time centers upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you date, you see a date in history, it is reference to the birth of Christ. I know that has to bother the agnostics and the atheists, that really they have to really deal with that on a daily basis. They have to confront that fact of the calendar. The BC means before Christ. The AD and Anno Domini are just simply are the year of the Lord is after Christ. You see, He divided time. He divided men. He divided, as you see in Scripture, He divided Herod and the wise men. He told them to return to Him with information, Herod did, about the whereabouts of where Jesus was. However, the wise men, they were warned by God not to return to Herod. And so what did they do? The Bible says they departed and they went to their own country. So He divided men, we see there. He divided also light from darkness. when you think about that in Scripture, often you'll find where light and darkness are very familiar symbols to all of us. But intellectually, we know that light refers to biblical truth, while darkness refers to errors or falsehood even. Light refers to holiness or purity, while darkness refers to sin or wrongdoing. So at his birth, and what a beautiful sight that must have been, to be at the birth of Christ. But you know, at the birth of Christ, we find it was the darkest of the night. His birth was the darkest of the night, and it was interpreted with the glorious light from heaven. If you want to look, you can, but you'll find in Luke chapter 2 in verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." And the, what does it say? "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid." You see, this was simply an example of how his life, how Jesus' life would impact really the darkness that filled the lives of all of mankind. The glory of the Lord shone brightly around them. And God's glory is still shining brightly today, is it not? I mean, really, noticing John's gospel in John chapter 1 in verse 4 and 5, John says that in him, speaking of the Lord Jesus, in him is life, or was life, and the life was the light. And by the way, if your Bible does not capitalize that, it should, because that's speaking of the Lord. He is the light, L-I-G-H-T. He is the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, or in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. That is, it overcame it not. Darkness, by the way, is not able to overcome or conquer the light. Just as we would bring maybe a single candle in this room if it was pitch dark, and you bring that single candle in this room, and it's going to overtake that darkness. Well, you see, Jesus is that light that overtakes the darkness in a dark world. And sometimes we see things that are going on around us and we wonder, how are we going to get through this, this problem or this trial or this difficulty that we see? Well, Jesus is that light. That's why, rather than back away from Jesus, rather than shut Jesus out of our life or out of our school systems or out of our workplace, well, we need to bring Jesus in those places. Because wherever Jesus is and wherever he reigns, there's light. But you take Jesus out of that, there becomes darkness. That's why I encourage you, if you're a parent, the best thing you can do as a parent in raising kids is to promote Jesus in that home. I mean, just give them Jesus all day long. You say, well, I don't want to give them too much. How in the world can you get too much of Jesus? You say, why you say it? I've heard people say that. I don't want to force anything on my kids. If you don't, the devil will. All right? And by the way, I've never had to force anything on my kids. I just told them, listen, if you're going to live in my household, this is the way it's going to be. All right? We're going to go to church. All right? We're going to go to Sunday school. We're going to be at Sunday night service. We're going to be Wednesday night. I found out, yeah, you say, did they rebel against that? Well, we all rebel against that. There's days I wake up, my old body says, don't go to church today. But boy, wouldn't it be bad if the preacher didn't show up today just because I listened to what my flesh said to do. One of our kids over Sunday school next door, I won't tell them, bless their heart, I said, y'all are going to be singing next Sunday, right? Yeah, but I don't know, my throat's bothering me a little bit. I said, well, listen, you've got to give your best to the Lord, you know, because God will help us. Sometimes, you know, even at little ones, I hear it as an adult. Boy, sometimes we can use some of the silliest excuses to get out of doing what God wants us to do. Listen, I'm not saying there are not some legitimate things. There are. But, you know, the more times we give the devil an open door to give us an excuse not to serve him or not to be used to him, we're shutting Jesus out. And what happens? That darkness moves in. Jesus is the light. And, you know, I know that we shouldn't expect folks in Washington to know that.
But yet, that's why as a Christian, we need to promote Christ everywhere we go. That's why we said, take these little cards that says Jesus on it. Give it to somebody. Now, that may cause them to frown. That may cause them to smile. But I guarantee you what it'll do. There'll be a light. At the time that you need Jesus the most, those are the very people that are going to look for that light. And Jesus is that light. Christ was a divider at His birth. Secondly, Christ was a divider in His ministry. Yes, if you follow Jesus those last 3 years of His life, you'll find that it was not easy for our Lord. Jesus, everywhere He went, He had people that followed Him. As we looked at last week, some followed Him for the wrong reasons and others followed Him, obviously because they wanted to know more about Him. They wanted to get to know Him in a personal way. But, you know, in His ministry, he was not accepted everywhere He went. Matter of fact, He was the divider in His teaching. If you followed Jesus during those 3 years of His life in teaching and preaching, He was the divider. There was a point of consistent division that was between Jesus and the established religionists of His day. Matter of fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, you can turn there. John chapter 7, in verse 11 and 12, it says, "Then the Jews sought Him at the feast." Now, that doesn't mean that, hey, they were just looking for Jesus to go over and shake His hand. They weren't going to go over there to find Jesus to pat Him on the back. They were, the word "sought" there has a different meaning. That means they were, that when they were seeking Jesus, they were out with a hostile intent to go after Jesus. And the Jews sought Him with that hostile intent at the feast and said, "Listen, where is He? Where is He?" And there was much murmuring. That is, there was some grumbling that was going on among the people, among the crowds concerning Him. So it wasn't just the religionists, the Pharisees, that were against Jesus. Now, there were many in that crowd. There were crowds of people that were murmuring and grumbling. "Where is He?" They were angry at Jesus. It says, "For some, He is a good man." Others said, "No, but He deceiveth the people." In other words, He leads them astray. Now, I would like to think that when I get up and preach and teach, that everybody's going to appreciate what I say. But listen, as a pastor for over 25 years that I've been pastoring a church, I'm sure I've rubbed some people wrong. I know I have. I've had some tell me that. Now, listen, I don't get up here intentionally to do that, and nor did Jesus. But if you're going to preach the truth, and by the way, if you came here today expecting to have your ears tickled a little bit, boy, just to make you feel all good all over and those chill bumps just run all over you, you may feel a little bit disappointed, because I hope that you feel those chill bumps and I hope you feel good. But I also hope that you get the other side of that, that there's the other side that kind of makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable. Oh, see? You see, that's what Jesus did. Now, Jesus could have made people feel good. He knew how to do that. But when it came time to really telling them what they needed to know and the truth of the gospel has a way to divide. And He is the gospel. And He told them the truth. And some didn't appreciate it. Matter of fact, those in the synagogue, it says, they were offended by His teaching. They doubted His authority. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 says, listen to what they said. They said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, that is his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" You see, they were questioning His authority. Last week we looked at even those who followed Jesus. They were divided, right? You remember that? There would be divisions. There were divisions among the disciples, the followers of Christ. Some of Jesus' teachings, they were hard sayings. Again, I've made reference to the fact I've had some people get a little irritated with me over the years. But, you know, you go back and you study the Bible and the way that the Bible should be studied in context and the way Jesus preached. He preached some tough messages, but He always did it in love. He did it in a way that, hey, was pointing people to Himself. And that was not popular. And even in John chapter 6 and verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who, in other words, who can accept what he's saying? Because Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, that he is the God with us, the Emmanuel that we heard last night. And as a result, many refused to follow him, as we looked at last week in John chapter 6 and verse 66 and 67. The Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back. There are many in that group of disciples, as we saw last week, that were false followers of Jesus, false disciples. And they went back, and they walked no more with Jesus. Then said Jesus unto the 12, speaking to Peter and other disciples, are you going to leave me also? Will you also go away, he said. And of course, we know last week what Peter's response. Peter's response was, and I paraphrase, he said, Jesus, we know you. We believed on you. We accept you. And Peter and those other disciples, the 12, we know were ones that stuck with Jesus. But you see, but this division revealed his true disciples. By the way, we may very well, and I believe we could be today, very well be living in the time when this is happening again. That is, Jesus is going to bring up the true church. Who is God's true disciples? They'll be revealed in the last days. Who is the ones who are truly have trusted Christ? Because, you know, I would like to say that, you know, and I don't know your heart, and only you know where you stand with God here today, but there may be some in this very room. You may not be a true disciple of Christ. You are a follower of Christ because you will have a head knowledge of Christ, and you're a good person and all like that. But all that's well and good. But you see, a true disciple of Christ is one who's given their heart and life to the Lord Jesus, who've invited Jesus in their life to be their Savior. That's what Peter and others had done. But you see, in the last days, when the tests come our way, and we're seeing that, then the true church, I believe, will be revealed in the last days that we live in. You see, much like today, most people like Jesus. They like Jesus' teaching on love. As I made reference to, I could get up here and preach a message on love today, and that's a good message to preach. And I am preaching a message on love today. You just kind of have to interpret it in the right way. But yet, you know, we like those frilly messages sometimes, those flowery messages sometimes, and that are wrapped up in a nice pretty bow and so forth. But Jesus didn't always do that. And because of that, they refused to accept his teaching when it came to repentance. You see, they heard Jesus speak about love, but when it came to a time to really now, you need to repent. You're a sinner. Oh, listen, nobody wants to be told they're a sinner. You know, nobody wants to be told they've done wrong, but when Jesus did that, they turned on him. They liked what he said about love and good deeds, but when Jesus spoke about forgiveness and repenting of their sins, they turned on him. They like God for so loved the world. They like that. But they bristled at the fact you must be born again. You see, that's what we still have today. There are people that like for God so loved the world. That's a great message that we need to tell people. But you know what? To follow that up, we have to say, you must be born again. You must be born again. You see, to enter heaven's gates, you must be born again. God so loved the world. He was a divider in his miracles as well. When we look at his ministry, he was a divider in his miracles. You see, it was no trouble to dispute his teachings. There's no trouble to dispute that, but his miracles presented a great problem. You see, they could dispute his teaching, but boy, when he did miracles, that was a problem to many of those who didn't like Jesus. You see, the Pharisees, they could not dispute the miracles, so they began to question his authority even more. John's Gospel in chapter 9 and verse 16 says, therefore said some of the Pharisees, listen what they said. They said, this man is not from God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner, do such, or in other words, perform such miracles? And there, the Bible says there in John, there was division among them. They questioned his authority. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24 says, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said," listen what they said, "this fellow," speaking of Jesus, "doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub," that is by Satan, who is the prince of the devils. You see, are the demons. You see, the Pharisees declared that Jesus was really Satan. There are those that still declare that today. They don't want to accept the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, so they put him in the category that he is a demon or he is of Satan. Listen, Jesus is the light of the world. He came to bring that light, to do away with that darkness, and thank God for that. So there are those who are divided at his miracles. By the way, men today are still divided over his miracles. You know, they cannot accept the miracles of Jesus, so that what do? They attempt to explain them away, often by trying to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. Scientists every day are trying to come up with ways to discredit Jesus, that surely there was no way that Jesus could have risen from the dead, and they've even tried to question a few years ago something about his DNA and all like this. And so, you know, listen, that's going to go on until Jesus comes. There are those who question his miracles. He was a divider also even at his death. We saw some of that portrayed out here in the video that was shown to us this morning. He was a divider at his death. In his trial, you can notice, if you go back and study the death of Christ, the people had chosen between two people. It was either Jesus or Barabbas. You see, Pilate and Herod, they were divided over Jesus as well, or who would try Jesus. Pilate and his wife were divided over Jesus. Pilate and the Jews were divided over Jesus. That was at his trial alone. Now, in his death, he divided the two thieves. As you could go back and obviously see that, he divided heaven and hell. His death is divided of all men's eternal destinies. And by the way, those who reject Jesus will spend eternity in hell. I could have left that out, but that's the truth. It's the truth. And by the way, as I said last week, we have such a loving, passionate, gracious, merciful God who never, never sends one person to hell. Never. So don't let it be said that preacher said Jesus sends people to hell. No, he doesn't. God doesn't send anybody to hell. People that go to hell, as you've heard me say many times, they go there because they've rejected themselves the free gift of salvation. When we reject Jesus, we send ourselves to hell by rejecting that free gift. You say, "Well, preacher, no one would do that in their right mind." Well, we would hope not. But you know, there are a lot of people who put salvation off for another day. They want to enjoy life, eat, drink, and be merry, and do what they want to do. And at the right time, I'll give my heart to Jesus. But you know what? None of us know about when that right time's going to be, because we don't know the day nor the hour. You see, sadly, there are those who reject Jesus and will spend eternity in hell. And by the way, there are those that will accept Jesus and will spend eternity and eternal life in heaven because they've accepted Jesus. Oh, he was a divider in his death, in his trial, in his death. He was a divider in his resurrection. He divided death and hell in his resurrection. He divided his own disciples, and they doubted. You see, there were those that didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Thomas, for instance, we know that doubting Thomas, he had no proof that Jesus was living, that he had risen from the dead. And so there were those who doubted, although Jesus had said during his time of preaching and teaching that he was going to die and he was going to raise again. But there, when it actually came down and it happened, there were those who doubted that. Even among his disciples, he divided the chief elders. They paid the soldiers to lie and to say he was stolen and not risen. Oh, listen, Christ was a divider at his birth. He was a divider in his ministry. And you know what? The last thing I want to make this morning, the last point, we see that Christ was a divider, or will be, excuse me, a divider when He returns. Christ will be a divider when He returns. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, He is coming back. The Bible says He's coming the way of the rapture. There's going to be a rapture that takes place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, For the Lord Himself shall descend, or will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The Bible says He's going to catch away those who are in Christ, those who know Jesus as Savior. And you know what? Many, many in this room have accepted Christ. And if the rapture took place today, and by the way, wouldn't it be great if we're sitting in a church service and we don't hear Brother Frank blowing that trumpet, but we hear God blowing that trumpet through the angel? We'll know. As I said a few weeks ago, we'll know the difference. And just in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be snatched away from here. Yeah, I didn't say that. That's all Bible. You see, what will happen when that takes place? This will fulfill the pledge that God had made to all of us in John chapter 14 in verses 1 through 3. When Jesus said in that pledge to us, He says, I will come again. And He says that here. He's going to rapture us up. And you know what? He will leave behind those who refuse to accept Him. You say, will it be too late for me to accept Christ? It will be. You see, now is the appointed time, the Bible says. We see Christ will be a divider when He returns through the rapture and also in the second coming. You say the second coming, well, that's after the church has been raptured out of here and He comes to set up His kingdom on the earth for a 1,000-year reign. Of course, He'll be a divider at His second coming. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 14 in verses 3 and 4 that the Mount of Olives will be divided. The Mount of Olives in Zechariah 14 verses 3 and 4 says, the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle, and His feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. So there will be a division of the Mount of Olives. You see, the saved and the lost will be separated between the lake of fire, and that will be the time where the devil himself will be cast away, as the Bible says, in that lake of fire for eternity. And those who have rejected Jesus will follow. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever, Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Let me close by asking you this morning, have you trusted Christ? Christ is a divider. If you'll listen for just a moment, listen as we close. We know that Christ is a divider. As a matter of fact, He has divided this group of people gathered here in this auditorium this morning. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I dare say He has divided those who believe in Him by faith from those who simply know about Him. There's some like that this morning. I dare say He has divided those who are living in this room for Him from those who are living for themselves. And I dare say also in this room He has divided those who are ready for His return from those who will be caught unprepared. You see, His coming will divide neighbors. His coming will divide friends. His coming will divide family members. And children will be divided from their parents, and husbands will be divided from their wives. And you know what? When you think about that, that is an uncomfortable thought. And I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable this morning, but hopefully challenge you that, listen, if you don't know Jesus today, don't be that loved one that gets left behind because you decided, I'm going to wait. If your mom or dad or you're already with the Lord, I dare say if they're in heaven rejoicing with Jesus, they want to one day have a great reunion day with you as well. So I invite you to come to Jesus. Jesus wants you to give your heart to Him. You know, there are those in here that have family members that need to know the Lord. This is a wonderful time of year that we can share Christ. As I said, that little message, that card that says Jesus, let's take advantage of sharing Christ because we are the seed planters. We plant the seed and God gives the increase. You see, as a Christian, it's uncomfortable to think sometimes about family members and friends. And some of us are going to gather with family and friends during the holiday. And some, it may be the last time we see them. I remember one time I gathered with my stepbrother at a Thanksgiving, a time where, this is years ago, and God convicted my heart about sharing with him the gospel. Took him to a room and we talked about the Lord, and he invited Jesus in his heart as the Savior. You see, I just did what I felt convicted to do, and you know, I couldn't make him get saved, but I sure wanted to be able to know that I shared Jesus with him. And you know, that may be the situation you're in. We're not be able to make folks come to accept Christ. That's not our job. But it's our role, our job is to share Jesus. He is the light. And the person who hears about Jesus, it's their decision whether they want to invite him or not. We can't force that upon people. But we need to share the light. Let the light shine through us in our workplace, in our school, in our family, so that others who see Jesus in our life will want what you have. Boy, I want that light, which is Jesus. Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. The Christians praying this morning, and maybe this morning you feel, for whatever reason, led to come to this altar as a Christian to pray. Maybe it's about a family member or a friend. Maybe as you go into this Christmas season and you celebrate time with family, that God will give you the boldness to share your faith with others, the glorious light. Don't be surprised, though, if you don't divide a little bit. Don't be surprised if you don't get a little ridicule, because Christ was a divider, not that he came to be that, but that took place because he is the light. And you know, if we share the gospel, sometimes it's going to make people uncomfortable. If we live the gospel, it's going to make some feel uncomfortable around us. But I challenge you as a church, let's do what God's called us to do. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. You've never accepted him as your Savior. I would hope you not leave today without giving us the opportunity to show you from God's Word how you can invite Jesus in your heart and life.